2024, please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Okay. Notification of Open Meetings Act and Meeting Procedures. Copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of this room. Prior to turning to the agenda for today's meeting, I would like to announce the procedure that will be used. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will hear the subcommittee chairman's report with their proposals and recommendation. Then the public will be given the opportunity to address the board chair. Lastly, directors will discuss the item and take action. All questions and comments will be addressed to the board chair. We ask that the public not interrupt directors' discussion and action. Thank you. Quorum call.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Bradley?
Here.
Conley?
Here.
Davidson?
Here.
Fowler?
Here.
Henningsen?
Here.
Jeff?
Here.
McCormick?
Here.
Teeter?
Here.
Thompson?
Here.
The chairman?
Here.
Item four, adoption of agenda.
So moved.
Second.
All right, roll call, please.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Hi.
Davidson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Henningsen?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Teeter?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
And Sherman?
Yes. Item five, adoption of consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, if you're ready.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Hi.
Davidson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Henningsen?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Teeter?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes. I have proof of publication of this meeting, and it will be part of the permanent record of the meeting. Let's see, item eight, any public comment out there? I thought Nicole was gonna speak first. I don't think we have anybody here from the public. Is that good enough, Brent?
Yeah.
All right. Item nine, agency association reports and presentations. First of all, 9A, please read Kristen Schluter's write-up. It's a pretty good one, and they passed their quality control inspection with flying colors and seem to be doing quite well hiring both interns and regular staff, so that's exciting. 9B, Nebraska Association of Resources Districts, Director Rich Teeter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The NARD did meet out at McCourt Sunday and Monday, and then we had the tour Monday and Tuesday. Drove 622 miles for a hour and 25 minute meeting. Rather interesting. And the biggest topic was the signing. Everybody has to sign a new form showing that you're not profiting from whatever we're doing here. And anybody making over $150,000, staff will have to sign. And it's kind of interesting. We were meeting at a small building where the gal made food, and she was supposed to open up the meeting at the building at 9 o'clock for the first committee meetings, and she didn't show up. So our first two committee meetings were held on the back of a pickup truck. And it was really rather unusual.
Yeah.
And finally at 10 o'clock, she showed up, and then we were able to, or 9 o'clock she showed up, and we were able to continue inside. But they were kind of, everybody was kind of anxious to get on a tour, so it was a brief meeting. And Tim, you took, and Patrick, you.
Thank you, Director. Yeah, I did make some notes, and it was actually a very good tour, one of the better ones that I've been on. We did toured the upper, the middle, and the lower Republican basins, as well as Tri-Basin. The the four got together for this meeting. One of the important parts out, there's 9 million acres of groundwater irrigated in Nebraska. And in that area, there's very little water and it's very contentious agreement with the Colorado and Kansas for the Republican Basin water. So it's very important that they account for and log in all of that uses of the water and what they're delivering. First meeting was an airborne electromagnetic mapping like we've done here extensively in their area so they can monitor and better model what water they're using. The Republican River Basin Compact accounting was a big discussion from the DNR's Jesse Bradley. He gave a history of this compact, which is long and contentious and had several court battles, and they've seemed to have come to an agreement that seems to be working. He went through the history and the complexity of the accounting for the compact, which is voluminous. Seems to have reached the reasonable agreement and resolution with no arguments and no augmentation since 2017 because of if they keep up 8,300 acre feet in Harlan County reservoir that's available for delivery, that seems to satisfy the parties. And there's some other tests, but that's the one that they keep falling back on. We also toured the augmentation projects of the Upper Republican Rock Creek, which has a capacity of about 21,000 acre feet, built in 2012. And then we went up on a different day to the New Corp, which is a Nebraska co-op, cooperative Republican and plat enhancement project that they bought 19,000 acres. One of the largest contiguous ranches in Nebraska, I believe, is what they said. They purchased that and they own it to maintain the water rights. So they retained ownership. They bought it for about $83 million. They retired 115 irrigation wells, and 30 augmentation wells remain. And it's in the Ogallala Aquifer, that's over 500 feet deep in that area. And they do see some drawdown when they were pumping heavily to the augment the Republican. They also can pump water to the Platte to service the Platte River. Requirements and the over allocation that they have in the Central Platte and enhance that. So they haven't pumped the Republican since 2017, as I mentioned, and they're not pumping any more than the historical irrigated acres had. So they're not taking more water. They do see some drawdown as much as 40 feet, but that's recharged in a couple of years, I'm told. They get full credit for anything pumped now, which is one of the good agreements that they came to with Kansas, I believe. And then they had a little bit of a tussle with the county about property taxes. They were able to, the board decided they will continue to pay the property taxes so that helped the county get through. And one of the highlights of the meeting for me especially was the Black Shirt Feeders. It's a brand new, massive 150 animal beef feedlot. It's about 1.5 square miles, 1.5 miles by a mile. It's got, like I said, 150,000 head. It's going to have an anaerobic digester to process the waste and turn it into methane. It's a high-tech feeding system and animal care. Most beef feeders have gone to steamed flake, they call it, which is like a corn flake. They turn the corn and they steam it and turn it into a flake, which the cattle better digest, I guess, and they gained weight faster, according to the veterinarians I spoke with. They have the entire facility is going to be roller compacted concrete floor, which is about 1.5 square miles of roller compacted concrete that's about 6 to 8 inches thick. And it collect and they can collect and sell the waste, the digestives, the liquid digestives and the solids, and generate methane again. They'll have a digester that generates the methane and they put it directly to a pipeline. They acquire money and credits for environmental CO2 capture and all the other things. The whole thing slopes about 1% to the waste containment area, so there is, it's environmentally, protects any groundwater and much, you know, on a dirt feedlot, they take out about 40% dirt, so this does not, and that's the idea of this. They have progressive layers of, or sizes of pens, so when this 300-pound calf comes in, they're in a smaller pen and they work through four or five stages and progressively bigger pens as they grow through the probably about a year of feeding. The first 10,000 head are supposed to arrive in September 24 this year. They're starting to get feed by the August of this year, and they plan to have 150 head in there by December of 26. So it's a 200,000
or
150,000 head.
150,000.
It's about a $250 million venture, I believe. They really wouldn't get specific on the cost, and they probably don't know that exactly yet. But a very aggressive venture. A lot of Canadian ranchers, and they've seen. There's some veterinarian from McCook was the one that gave us a tour, and he's one of the partners, and a couple of veterinarians, and some big money rolling around. But it was really impressive construction site, other than getting sandblasted in the 80-mile-an-hour wind and the fine dust. But that's the end of my report.
All right. Tim, thanks for going. That sounds interesting. I'd like to hear more about that.
Yeah. Very interesting.
I have one question. You mentioned that $83 million purchase price for a piece of land. Who bought that?
The NRDs. The Republican, Nebraska Cooperative, they call it. And they bought the land for $83 million. It was 19,000 acres. I don't know if that's 4,800 an acre or something. I can't remember. I did the math. But and then there's 113 or 115 wells on the property, or 100, and I guess more than that, because they kept 30 active.
So what do they do with that land? Can they use it for...
So they actually have... they've turned it back. So when Prudential bought it initially back in the 80s, they turned it to row crop, and everyone criticized them for taking a nice stand of prairie grass and turning it into row crop. Now they've returned it back to prairie grasses, and they're criticized for doing that, taking out of production. And they were criticized for owning, but you have to, in order by state law, you have to own the land in order to retain the water rights, which they need the water rights to fulfill their contract with the compact, as well as the requirements for the Platte River augmentation.
So are they going to lease the land out for grazing then, or what are they going
to
do?
They lease the land for grazing. They have grazing, very light grazing. Actually, it's like they'll have five cycles, and they'll move them to pastures, and it's not very many pair on an acre or 20 acres. And then so it really doesn't it's not nearly overgrazed. It's very lightly grazed. And then they also have hunting and bike trails and public recreation and portions that they let them equestrian and single track bike trails. And then there's hunting, public hunting in the seasons. And then there's also a prairie chicken viewing in the, I guess it's March, April, or May, something like that. That's, if you've never seen prairie chickens, when they do their little mating dance and puff up, it's pretty spectacular. When I lived out in Ogallala, we'd see that quite often. It was,
mm-hmm. It's cool.
Yeah.
Ooh. Are you going to demonstrate?
Demonstrate. No, I've stopped doing that. Court order.
Were you out there too, Patrick?
I was out there, and I've said it before, these tours are really a good opportunity for us to kind of bridge the urban-rural divide and spend time with some of the folks out west. And, you know, on this particular tour, it was interesting, as Tim was saying, a lot of time in between sites. There's so many miles out there to cover, but that gave us an opportunity to really have some quality conversations, and I spent a lot of time with a rep from EA Consulting, an engineering firm. The Fish and Game rep was out there, and he was very fun to speak with. And one of the things I noticed, having traveled the state so much, is so many of the homesteads out there are now falling in. They're dilapidated. They're abandoned. The families have moved off. And they just can't survive unless they have enough land and enough head of cattle to either farm or ranch. So they've handed it off, and as Tim was saying, with the NCORP property, they are rotating herds. On NCORP, for instance, $83 million purchased from the Prudential Company, which was farming, and they deconstructed the farm and turned it back into pasture land, but they're curating those pastures in such a way with a blend of grass to maximize the protein that the animals take in. And then they rotate them on a schedule that doesn't tear up the paddocks so much. And so there's always one or two out of use. And with the 5 or 6 years that they're rotating, you know, a few hundred head at a time, couple hundred pair. And I think he said 208 per pair per day, which adds up to a lot of money, but that could be per month.
Yeah, I never got the final answer on that, but that was my curiosity. Mm-hmm. It cannot be that much because you can buy the land for that.
It's a lot of money, but 34 open operating wells feeding the two pipelines going north and south to the Platte and to the Republican. So we got a tutorial on that. We went to a site where we inspected some Rubicon gates, and I got a fun little tutorial on how to operate those. So that was a little piece of education. But just the relationships that we can build, they go a long way. Spent a lot of time with Dean. We talked about operations going on in Lincoln and quite a few others. So that was worth our 2 days that we spent out there with them. And I appreciated the opportunity to go. So thank you.
Ken?
Yes, sir.
One thing, back in 2008, when I was on the Riparian Task Force, right when we started, the Republican River by McCook, at 300 cubic feet a second, it would flood. And it was supposed to take about 12 to 1,300 CFS without flooding. Under the task force, they went in there and cleaned the area out, cleaned the trees out as well as the vegetation, and it was able to fulfill the requirements. But I noticed when I was there this weekend that I'm seeing some grow back of the vegetation coming back up, so I'm a little bit concerned about going into another cycle. So I'm going to kind of keep an eye on that and be talking about that at some of our future meetings. But I just found that kind of interesting.
Any other questions?
No, I did have one other observation I wanted to share was the hazards of sedimentation to some of these basins. And kind of a little group conversation we were having about Lake Wanahoo. 50% of Lake Wanahoo right now has so much sedimentation that it's down to 4 feet. And you can imagine what that's done to that special northern pike species that we were so proud to see go into that site. So that's creating a unique problem and one that we need to be cognizant of our own basins here and creeks. That creates a lot of ongoing expense and problems for us going forward. So that's interesting issue that we should keep our eye on, see how they proceed to fund the solution and deal with it.
The water quality basins that we typically associate with our dams, those eventually fill up as well.
Right.
Is there a maintenance program?
That's why we build water quality basins with the reservoir to capture that sediment, and then they're designed to eventually fill with the sediment and then become a wetland. So if you have to dredge them, fine, but most likely you just let them fill and that's what they become.
And you don't, yeah.
Yeah, so when they, I don't
there
know.
There's a lifespan.
I don't know what water quality basins Wanahoo had, if any. So that's probably why they're getting, the Corps, when they built Standing Bear and Cunningham, they didn't put the water quality basins in. Thus, we have to come back and do that later. So, but we learned that lesson. And when we build them, we build the water quality basins, so we don't have that problem.
Yeah, I thought our basins, though, were able to go ahead and dredge them out if necessary.
If you can, if you want to. But once the idea is once that area is developed, then you won't have as much sediment, and then that saves you the cost of having to go back and dredge them out. So they'll fill in and make a nice wetland area.
Did you see Harlan County Lake? Is that full, Tim?
We did not get there, but they said it was, they maintain that. They don't have, they don't have to augment the Kansas flow because there is enough deliverable irrigation water there, the 83,000 acre feet.
Okay.
It's there and available. And then if they don't use it, there's a carryover, I believe, that they can use for five, you know, it's like a 5-year running total.
Good news.
So that's like, so they have not had to pump since 2017, knock on wood.
That's great.
One last comment I'd like to say, thanks for letting me go. And the hospitality of the NRDs out there was fabulous. They fed us well and took great care of us, so I want to thank them.
Thanks for going. All right, let's see, 9C legislative report, Catalyst Public Affairs. John, you want to take that one?
No, there isn't any. This
no report right now. All right, well, let's get with it. Subcommittee reports, 9A Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee Director Fred Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved that the minutes of the June 11th, 2024 meeting of the Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee are accepted and incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendation of the subcommittee hereby adopted and approved. 10A1, Amendment Number 1 with HDR for in-lieu fee program development. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed amendment number 1 with HDR Engineering for the in-lieu fee aquatic resource mitigation program instrument project in a not to exceed $80,395, bringing the total contract not to exceed amount to $130,386, subject changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as deployed by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Any comments on this item? Staff, directors? Roll call.
Conley. Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Kenningson.
Yes.
Jones.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Teaser.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Jones.
Yes.
Item number 10A2, Amendment Number 5 with HDR Engineering for WP4. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute Amendment Number 5 with HDR Engineering, Inc. for professional engineering services for modifications to the final design of the WP4 project in a not to exceed amount of $213,200, bringing the total contract amount to $3,877,026, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as deployed by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Any comments or questions on this item? Staff, directors? Roll call.
Davidson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Kenningson.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Teaser.
Yes.
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 Aye.
Chairman.
Yes.
Item number 10A3, Amendment Number 1 with HDR Engineering for the Papillion Creek Tributary Section 319 Water Quality Project. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed Amendment Number 1 with HDR Engineering, Inc. for the Papillion Creek Tributary Section 319 Water Quality Project in an amount not to exceed $592,415, bringing the total contract amount $1,066,915, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as deployed by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Any comments on this item? Directors? Roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Benjamin.
Yes.
10A4, bids for the Papillion Creek Tributary Section 319 Water Quality Project. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed contract with Pruitt Grading LLC in the amount of $2,171,680 for the Papillion Creek Tributary Section 319 Water Quality Project subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Any comments or questions on this item? Staff, directors? Roll call.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Hanson.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Chairman.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I have one question. When would this project start, then okay this all? Do we have any idea?
Yeah, necessary. Do you have any?
Typically, a project like this would start within 2 or 3 weeks after board approval, but we'll have to have a pre-construction meeting with Pruitt Grading. And there's also the bat and bird and tree removal issues, so that could delay the start of the project.
Significantly.
Correct.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
10A5, interlocal agreement with Waterloo Rural Fire Department for Elkhorn River Water Rescue Funding. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed interlocal agreement for the Elkhorn River Water Rescue Funding for a term to expire on December 31st, 2016, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Any comments on this item? Staff, directors? Roll call, please.
Jeff.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Conley.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Pennington.
Yes.
Chairman.
Yes.
And that completes my report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Director Conley. 10B, Finance Expenditure and Legal Subcommittee, Director Rich Teaser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved that the minutes of the June 11th, 2024 meeting of the FEL Subcommittee are hereby accepted and incorporated into these minutes, and the following recommendations of the Subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. 1, land acquisition for Papillion Creek Tributary 319 Water Quality Project. Recommendation that the GM be authorized to execute a purchase agreement providing permitted easements from Lance G. and Michelle Denker for the Papillion Creek Tributary 319 Water Quality Project in an amount not to exceed $253,805, subject to changes deemed necessary by the GM and approval as to form by District Legal Counsel, and I so move.
Any comments, questions on this item? Staff or directors? Roll call.
McCormick.
Yes.
Teaser.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Pennington.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
Chairman.
Yes. Nice work, Director Teaser. Item 11, Treasurer's Report, Director Tim Fowler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to Director Bonnet for covering down last month as I was gone. Thank you very much. I'd like to take items A through I, all inclusive, and be it resolved that the financial reports be affixed to and made part of the minutes, and I so move.
Point of order, you'd say A through I, not J.
No, that says I.
No J.
It's I.
It's I. Okay, it's double I's.
Right. And I so move.
The resolution says J.
What does it say in the white over here? No, it says I. He wrote in here, says I.
Do you need to restate that, or?
Nope. It's A through I.
A through I, all right. Can I get a second on that?
Second.
Director Conley? Comments, questions, anybody? Roll call, please.
Hazel.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Pennington.
Yes.
Jarrett.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Chairman.
All right, thank you, Director Fowler. Chairman's report. I've been on the road three of the last 4 weeks. I don't have a whole lot to add, but I will say that I'd like to thank the staff for all their work. Somewhere Marlon Peterman's got to be smiling up at heaven, because if there was ever a year that Omaha, the Metro, needed the NRD, this was the year. And John's going to give you some more crazy stats about it, but the whole system performed flawlessly and under pretty monumental weather events, and they keep coming, and the system has just held up like a champ. So thank you to all the staff for doing what you do. So that concludes my report. Item 13, GM report, John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Under the information education highlights, I talked to somebody about this, but the I&E department, Arbor Day trees, lady Karen McGuire saw our post that we had extra trees, and one of the neighborhoods that was the hardest hit in Elkhorn, Ramblewood, contacted us to receive those. It would just happen that she was having a nursery come and look at her trees, the damage of the trees, Great Plains Nurseries, and they agreed to take 100 of our blue spruce trees, take them, plant them at their nursery, and accelerate their growth as much as possible, and then replant those when the neighborhood is up in recovery and can accept those trees. So thanks to Great Plains Nursery for doing that, and then also our social media presence, because someone's seen that, and then we had 100 trees that we planted in a hard-hit area. Chad Holtland was hired on May 28th as our district groundskeeper, working out of the operation maintenance headquarters. The district received a highlights report from Keep Omaha Beautiful. That's attached for your review and our continuing partnership with them. Our condolences go to the family of Barbara Wagner, who passed away on May 18th. Barb was a Papillon NRD board member from 1991 to 1994. Also, in the thick of the flood assessment and repair that Chairman Sapinski mentioned, we did receive many thank you messages via social media and email. We did put one in here as an example, Daryl Keeney of Lighthouse Baptist Church. He quoted, "I'm sure you get plenty of grief for many things, but this is a huge thank you for what you do in keeping the Papio Creek in its place. It is really appreciated." And we received a number of additional complaints, or not complaints, of thank yous and complaints. But also, just a real quick, the Game and Parks listed their top 7 Nebraska State Park for kayaking, and Cramper Lake and Dana Shops was listed as the top 7 kayaking spots in the state. So
cool.
Thank them for their recognition there. Also, just some statistics from the rainfall on May 21st. So the watershed received 4 to 6 inches of rain over a widespread area. Some areas in the middle, Big Papillion and Upper Little Papillion, received over 8 inches. We have 13 of 21 years of record on the Papillion Creek gauges. 11 of 17 were record stages. So basically, on the Big Papio from Kenner downstream was record flows along the Little Papio through the confluence at Q. Those are all records. West Papio from Elkhorn to Millard also had record peaks, and one West Papio gauge was knocked out by a floating tractor, so we don't have any information from that.
Tractor's floating.
Yeah, well, it did in that much of water. So also on flood control reservoirs, Jim Thompson brought this up, and we found the statistics, but Lake Cunningham rose 3 feet. Worspan Lake here rose 1 foot. Lake Zerinsky rose 4 feet, and Lake Standing Bear rose 7 feet during that storm event. So if you can imagine, if all that water was in the system at the same time, it would have been a much different story than what we heard. Although there were many reports of localized flooding, areas of major creek flooding were along the Big Papio, Fort to Maple, Coal Creek, the Big Little Confluence at Q, and then West Papio near 48th Street. And West Papio at 36th Street, the 36th Street Bridge is low, and so it always tends to accumulate there. Again, rainfall varied across the basin. Mainly, the elevations represented between a 25 and 50-year storm event. So we're half of what a 100-year storm event would look like. Also, our O&M and survey staff, they did a fantastic job after the rain. subsided. They checked over 15 dams for high water and reported back to NRCS per their rules. We checked the Papio system for issues. We compiled the issues. We coordinated the work for 36th Street and other places, and then we took care of all that. So we were back in operation very, very quickly. A special thank you to Valley Corp, because at 36th Street, we had a huge amount of debris that collected along that that bridge. And so we had to get that out of there before the next rain event. And so we contacted them. We didn't have the equipment. City of Bellevue didn't have the equipment to properly clear that channel. And they mobilized. Then we had the rain the night and that next night, and it cleared the channel. So Mother Nature took care of the channel. But we did still have a large amount of debris, but we didn't need Valley Corp. And so we called them and said, hey, we don't need the equipment that you organized. And they didn't charge us for mobilization. They just said, hey, we appreciate the work that we do for you. And so they did not charge us, which was a huge cost to them, I'm sure. Cool. And they didn't pass that along to us. So we'd like to thank them publicly for their assistance during that. But again, all of our staff, I mean, great job. We're starting to clean up the debris now along not only in Bellevue. City of Bellevue has been great to work with. They allowed us to open up their tree dump. So we're clearing some tree debris there. And then we're also working with Douglas County to get a spot where we can start clearing up some of the stuff up here in Douglas County, getting that all tucked away and out of the creek system. So it worked. I mean, the system worked as it was supposed to. The flood plains flooded when the levees wouldn't hold or when it overtopped. And so other than that, the staff did what they were supposed to do. And it was a textbook example. I'm a little bit worried it was a 50-year storm event because, you know, so we got a 100-year storm event. I think it's a different story. But we're continuing to construct reservoirs and continuing to do what we do. So we won, and that's what I told the media. We won this one. We'll take the win, and then we'll go from there. But, man, I don't know if you had anything else to add. But, yeah, it's quite it's satisfying when things that you've worked on for – I mean, actually been working in this watershed for 60, 70 years, but not us as the NRD and not me, obviously, but it's satisfying when something that you put together or helped put together did what it did. So when you said Marlon smiling, I'm sure he is, because it did exactly what we intended it to do. So right, that concludes my report.
Any comments or questions for John? Director McCormick?
Stellar work by the staff and the NRD, and over the years especially, to get the Papio in shape. For the future, perhaps maybe a rapid response to the 36th Street Bridge in particular, because it will clog again until they rebuild it, which I think is on the books to be done. But if we had a plan and people lined up like we do for the ice jams, that we could be there the next day, and it's okay to put a backhoe on the bridge, and it's okay to swing this debris into this area and get it out of there, because I was super worried that Friday's storm or Thursday night storm was going to cause a lot of problems. And fortunately, Mother Nature took care of us on that one. And I think the system would perform better if that bridge was absolutely wider. That would help the whole system. And then in the future, it was a 50-year storm, perhaps. Maybe there's additional measures we need to take along the Papio that we need to be considering for those events that it's within inches of coming over at one specific place. It was, you know, those are things to be considered for the future anyway. That Coal Creek area, need to get it on our radar and figure out what we can do there. That's a disaster waiting to happen, in my opinion. But great response, great social media presence that we have now. Thank you for that. So that's all I have. Yeah.
The Coal Creek was interesting because there was a Ford Explorer, right? In a culvert that was stuck in the culvert, so we didn't. That obviously didn't help. And then also, so on the 36th Street Bridge, they are going to replace that in the next few years, but we did get it rated for if it would hold a backhoe, and so we're making those plans to try to get that. So
yeah, we'd have that on and ready, because we know it can do it. And
right.
We're 100 times on the bridge.
Well, after every event, we learn something new, and then we prepare a little more. So,
thank you.
Yep.
So that was a tremendous amount of waste. Is that all cleaned up now?
No. So we're still
working. Even after Mother Nature took the middle out.
Yeah.
That was tons.
It's a ton of debris. It's tires. It's bottles. It's you name it. But you know, most of it obviously is the log. You know, the tree debris. But it's just from everywhere. It's from the entire watershed. It goes down to one spot, and it just hangs up there because that's the low spot, so. Yeah, so now we have to clean it up, but it's a ton.
Did we identify any areas that where that might have come from specifically?
No, it's, yeah, it's everywhere.
Yeah, behind my office.
You know, yeah.
On 144th and F Street.
It's everywhere.
It's really fallen in over there.
We get tractors, we get...
There was a jet ski behind my office.
Was there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, man.
Do you have a public update on Hell Creek?
Hell Creek, I believe they stopped the sewage flow.
Bypassed it, yes.
Yeah, they bypassed it, but yeah, they haven't made the repairs yet, so.
I was going to say that, Tim, that 36th Street project, we're in phase two. The bridge is in phase three of that project, so hopefully within 2 to 5 years, it'll be replaced. Since this was a 50-year storm, we should be good for the next one.
Yeah.
Well, if we know we can put a backhoe on it.
Yeah.
We've got that proven. We've got engineer approval. We should have backhoes with long reach and maybe thumbs.
Yep.
I know they had a clamshell lined up to come out on a crane.
Right.
That's going to be very slow and not as effective as any backhoe. Having done it many times, backhoe with a thumb, if just even backhoes that longer reach could remove that debris.
Right. What we did learn is there's not very many places to dump tree debris in the entire metro area.
But if you get it off the sides at that point,
There
was, you know, there's two backhoes sitting there that could have got on it the next morning. But if we had one lined up, ready to go, rapid response.
We'll get Bill out there.
Very good response. So, I don't know how many times you called the city of Bellevue, me or other people in the city, and we felt very comfortable with the response, and we'll get it out of there.
Yep.
So.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Nice work. Item 14, please note, Juneteenth, next Wednesday, offices are closed. Or 4th of July, which I think is on a Thursday this year. Is that right? Budget workshop, that's always kind of fun, July 9th. And then the next meeting's July 9th and 11th. So with nothing else, we are adjourned.